Well, Pat, thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on again, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right, let's get right into it. A couple of things here. First off, I mean, we all were just in great awe of the performances Coco Carrasquilla had for Panama in the Gold Cup, wins the Golden Ball. I mean, this is a pretty incredible moment for him as a soccer player. He's obviously ID'd himself even further to many, yep, many people. What's the status? We're hearing lots of rumors, Rayo Vallecano, people coming in for him. Let's hear it from the GM.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams that are showing interest. We've had contact from, probably not much more than a handful of teams, but no one officially has made an offer yet at this point. One of the things he did qualify for just in the Nations League is he qualified for a UK work permit, which is big, and that's a big market for buyers, whether it's Championship or Premier League. But, so for them, I think for a lot of them, he was off their radar thinking, well, it's going to be tough to get a Panamanian work permit here. Now they know he qualifies. That will open up some doors for him as well. But, we're excited. I think more than anything, we're proud of a player that's, been a part of our group now for a good year and a half and has worked hard and almost 2.5 years, sorry. And he's been fantastic with our group. I think... for us, every guy in here, when they saw him the other day, everyone was smiling ear to ear. So I didn't even know this, but I guess we have the last two Gold Cup MVPs on our roster. I didn't know that. Hector Herrera done it before. That was news to me.
Well, it's great for the club. It's great for him. But in the context of his desires, you had mentioned to me prior that his ambition is Europe.
Yeah, it is. And which is what we want every player. I would love every player to come and say, my goal is to go play in, the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, what be it. And that's something that we mapped out and spoke a lot to his agent and to him exactly how we see that going and, what we're looking for to make that work. And at the same token, they are too. I don't think he wants to go over. He's done enough and he's shown enough. I don't think... with all due respect to second division in Norway, and I can say Norway because that's my last name, so I could take a shot there. But we're not gonna transfer him over to a Norwegian club. He wants to go. We need to get him to a top five league, and that's where he wants to go, or at least a club that has a history of springboarding players onto that. So he understands that, and that's where he wants to go too. He wants to play at the highest levels that he can get to.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 Daspit Law Firm. I mean, you win the Gold Ball, you may be at the height of your valuation, right? Is that
true,
the way it generally works? You guys probably have a number. We see it bannered around. Dynamo wants $6 to $8 million for him. I know you can't talk numbers, but I mean, is this the optimum time to sell him? Because you're also trying to build a team.
Yeah, we're trying to make the playoffs. We're trying to make the playoffs and we're trying to fight for championships. We're in a semifinal of the Open Cup. We're just starting this new journey we can talk about a little bit later on Leagues Cup. So we're still in the hunt for these things, and we want to start establishing ourselves as a playoff team and a team that fights for championships. So losing one of your best players is going to be difficult. So one of the things we're trying to do is be proactive as we can be, just in case that happens. The issue for us is our window closes in less than 2 weeks. I think it is 13 days now. So when that happens, and if an offer comes after at that stage, it's going to be tough for us to react. So, but at the end of the day, we've had clear conversation with his agent and the player. The tougher conversations are with Ben Olsen. He's like, listen, we want to win, and I agree. So do we. So, hopefully, we can find a solution that solves everything.
Pat Onstad joining us, the Dynamo general manager, and as we continue to talk Coco Carrasquilla, let's be honest, it's been tough without him result-wise.
Yeah, we haven't. Last five games, six games, we haven't got a win or something like that. So it hasn't been great. Although the irony is, I think we've actually played certainly when we look back on it from a statistical standpoint, we've actually played some of our better games. I wouldn't say our best. Clearly, defensively, I think we've fallen off a little bit of late. I think that's why the Colorado game, as much as that's a team we would like to go out and try to get the 3 points, I think it was really important for us to shut them down defensively. We've given up 5 goals at home over the 2 games previously against KC and Minnesota, and the way we gave up a lot of those goals was just uncharacteristic of how we played this season. take out the Vancouver game. So I think for us, it was important to get back to being stingy defensively. And I thought the guys did that. So hopefully we can build on that.
Last one on Coco. Are there clubs coming in of the stature that you would potentially move him to if you got the number you wanted for him?
I mean, one of the, you know, you mentioned it's that one of the teams out there, if you're getting interest from La Liga teams, that's great. I mean, that's the level that we think he can play at. And the level I think that some of those clubs can reach the number that we're hoping for. So it's difficult. It's difficult for all teams. All teams, even though they're a La Liga team, doesn't mean they can actually hit that valuation. You know, they've also got money and budgets as well. So it's just because a La Liga team comes in doesn't necessarily mean that they're able to meet the valuation. And it's also, it needs to be a good fit for Coco. You know, if he watches the team and he sits there and says, I might not play there, then he's very happy here. He loves it here. He loves his teammates. He loves the team. He believes in the project. So I don't think this is just going to be, we're going to take the first offer that comes across and that unless it makes sense for both parties, ourselves and Coco.
And you're in a place, I mean, we all know him as a human being. He's great. I mean, I've heard some amazing stories about him. You're not worried if a deal doesn't come to pass here for both the club and him that you've got a disgruntled player on your hand?
No, it's actually interesting because we had alumni weekend last weekend and we had Asher Mendelson and I sat down and kind of did a presentation for a lot of the alumni. And one of the things Jeff Cameron brought up is he said, well, what about Coco Karaskia? Like, do you have a price? How do you manage that with the player? And I've said it numerous times already in this interview, but the bigger one is to manage the expectations beforehand rather than say, no, we're not doing that because of X, Y, and Z. You need to be able to walk through, here are the potential scenarios. Here's the price we're both looking for. Here's a scenario for you that makes sense. And they also need to say, hey, listen, for us, this would make more sense than going here and going there. So we work very closely right now with Coco and his agent. He's a very good agent, has a history, especially in Europe. So he does a lot of Panamanian players. And we've known him, between Asher and I, we've known him for almost 8 years now. So there's a level of trust as well. So the nice thing is when someone comes in, it's either it fits them in the parameters that we've set up or it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you know, that might be the problem, to your point, is when Coco come and say, yeah, I know we said that, but now, but the reality is that, you know, we are in a business, and the nice thing is we've laid out clear parameters of what it's going to take for him to go. And we think we can get there. And they also feel that it's fair in terms of everything that we're looking at. So, I think that's really important. I think, you know, Asher's done a great job of that, managing that for us. And, you know, hopefully we can find a solution for all parties.
Dynamo general manager Pat Onstad. So it's interesting to watch him play with Panama. He's got a really defined role. Mm-hmm. You guys have built a wealth of riches in midfield. Obviously, Hector's playing off the charts. Arturo's been excellent this year. And it's kind of like Coco's kind of the odd man out in a way of having to be the guy that is the third kind of cog on the wheel. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but from a positional standpoint, and maybe he is playing a little out of position, right? On the
No, I think he is. I think you saw him, and I think the reason he was the MVP of Gold Cup is he played in his best position, you know, is almost like a 6'8" and able to get on the ball and dictate play and be that guy. But we always obviously have Artur, who's definitely more of a 6, and he's pretty good on the ball and pretty steady and calm. And we have, you know, probably one of the best central midfielders in the league, and Hector Herrera, who you know, can't play as a 6 by himself. And in the end, so you do have some interesting profiles. And we rolled out as a 4-3-3 and had him kind of at the top as a 10. And I think it was tough for Coco to be able to make the final pass. I thought he got better as the season. He was definitely getting into that. And what we found from an attack standpoint, when Bossy came inside for us, Amin Bossy, is that, and played, I wouldn't say a 10, but even an interior wide guy, is that he became much more effective in playing the final pass than Coco was. So Coco at times ends up almost playing as a wide midfielder, certainly in defense, and we're in a, you know, 4-4-2 block. He's playing wide on the right at times. So it is difficult for him at times to be able to show this strength, what he can do in the field. And I think for all of us, we were really happy that it didn't hurt him, certainly for his Panama performance in Gold Cup and Nations League as well. I thought he was excellent in both tournaments, and we're excited to get him back on the field here.
Yeah, interesting, because I liked when Ben Olsen kind of moved into a hybrid. It was almost like a winger, because we do know he can penetrate, but then he also came into the interior a lot, and he's got the legs to get out back wide and defend. It's interesting.
One of the things he's just elite at that we don't have, and there's few teams have that in our league, but he can get a ball under pressure and then dribble out of pressure and drive 30 yards up the middle of the field and then get into great, you know, get it into the attacking third. And we've missed that, to your point, in the last six games. We've always had to pass to get into that attacking third zone to get up there and get our chances. And that's just limited us. When teams press well and they take away passing lanes and they put pressure on us, we don't have that one guy who's able to kind of spin away from one player and then just drive, and that just totally disorganizes the defense. So that's where I think, if you said there's one aspect where we've really hurt us, is not having Coco is in that position and being able to break lines with his speed and his ability to go one-on-one with players. And if he can, you know, comes back to us and however long we have him, it's going to make a big difference for our group.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us. Okay, League's Cup is coming up. We got the hype. It's USA versus Mexico, Canadian teams, MLS versus Liga MX. How do you position this? I know there's got to be a lot of unknown going into this.
Yeah, you don't know. I think for us, it's still another tournament. We want to win games here. We want to progress in tournaments. I mean, that's our goal. At the same token, we don't want to come out of this break and be shorthanded because we push guys too much, and we've, you know, guys have pulled up, you know, Hector Herrera is a good example in Orlando. We'll have to see how he comes out of tonight's game, how much he plays. He's had a lot of travel. He's been on his feet the last couple of days. In fact, Edgar was just showing me he's doing a photo shoot right now. So he's busy. I mean, my guess is he'll probably only play 20 to 30 minutes. Cause they know some of the guys that are in the All-Star game are playing Friday. So they'll be careful, but you know, that's something we've got to take into consideration for the first game. But I think certainly the game against Santos, I think everybody in our group is looking forward to that. It's just a different challenge at this time of the season. It's been a long time since this group was in a competitive game against a Mexican team that mattered. So we're excited about that. I think it's a chance to measure ourselves against a very good league and a very good team in Santos Laguna.
I'm not going out on a limb, but I think we're going to see a lot of contentious games. I mean, you played in them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, right? They're early. It's probably the first time MLS is in a better position than Mexican teams are when we play them. We're mid-season and they're just getting going. So that's kind of what it normally looks like. It's usually flip-flopped when we play CONCACAF games. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's you don't know. I think there will be some interesting rivalries, that's for sure. And I think the ones that are really interesting for me are, you know, teams that haven't played those games for a while or haven't played them at all. At least our club has some history in that. But we've also, because of our location, we see a ton of those games, and we've seen them in our stadium, and we kind of have a feel for it. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, a St. Louis who's brand new, Minnesota doesn't get a chance to play in those competitions too often. Vancouver, all these other teams, that'll be interesting to see if these rivalries come up. I mean, our rivalry with Pachuca back in the day was pretty intense. Those were fantastic games.
Yeah, they were great games. Talking to Pat Onstad, the Houston Dynamo general manager, do you get a push from the front office of MLS? And do you think Liga MX's organizers and those at the top are saying, hey, you guys got to go out here, you got to win this thing, you got to take it seriously, because we're coming out of the blocks for the first time ever. We're working together on this, but do you get that sense from the front office or the commissioner?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the commissioner needs to say anything, to be honest. And when you set it up and you shut the league down for a month, let's go. There's not a ton of excuses for either side. Outside of Mexico, obviously has to play away, so that's going to be difficult. But the big one is, let's go and let's see what can happen. You know, if we put our best against their best and see how it plays out. So I'm excited from that standpoint that we could just focus on these games and go. The concern for us is obviously we played a lot of games and we're the first group up. We haven't had much rest even from Colorado. We did 3-8 and then we've 4 days in between and we're playing again. So it's a little tight for us, but at the end of the day, we'll figure it out and we'll go down to Orlando and do our best and try to get a result out of there. There's all sorts of added stuff. You know, we finish second, we play Pachuca. That would be fantastic at home. if we finish first, there's a small chance we could even play Miami. I mean, so there's a lot on the line for everybody.
Is there a contingency plan? Because if you get eliminated quickly, these first two games come quick.
Yeah.
Then you've got a lot of time between your next MLS game.
To make a long story short, we're going through schedule. It's a disaster if that happens. It's going to be difficult. The issue is, you know, MLS has made it clear, like, you cannot set up exhibition games because you don't know if you're going to be in the tournament. We don't want that. You can't do gated games, which makes sense. Like, at this stage, we should be focused on Leagues Cup. Yeah. So we'll have to figure out different ways to, if we are eliminated, to figure out different ways to get games. So I think for us, the focus really is to get out of our group, get into the round of 32, and then at that stage, anything can happen.
Pat Onstad, Dynamo General Manager. Again, by the way, we have the Orlando Dynamo game tomorrow night right here on ESPN 97.5. So listen in. This is a big one. Orlando City's coming off a big win in MLS against Atlanta United. This is not an easy team to play against, and the Dynamo will be on the road in that one. Again, it's right here live on ESPN 97.5. How about a little bit of a talk on Nelson Quiñones, Aliu Ibrahim? I know teams look at you differently. Are you a little disappointed you're not getting a little bit more out of them?
I think the final product, actually, there was the whole session today, was based on really just the final product of what movements we want them to have in the final third and what everybody's looking for. So just trying to define that. I think overall in our game, when we look at it, you know, from the eye test, but also from analytics test, is we're getting into the attacking third quite well. We're doing one of the top teams in the league getting into those areas, but we're not getting enough out of those once we get in those positions. And so that's something we need to define. We need to just to refine it, make sure we're getting there. I think earlier in the season, we weren't getting into the attacking third. That was the we've been kind of looking at our – we've kind of looked at it after the eight games, and we that was a big problem. We challenged the coaching staff. I think also we brought in Aliu. So that helped us. And Quiñones got on the field, started getting on the field more. So we've been much more of a threat, and we've been much better at advancing the ball into that attacking third. Now the question is, how do we score the goals? How do we create those opportunities?
And these are two really young guys, and I'm sure your expectations have to be measured and they have to be taken into consideration that they're still developing players under you guys, right? I mean, you're helping these guys develop. So then you get into the why. For a young guy, for these guys not to be having a little bit more end product, what is that? Is it just youthful? Is it potentially the fact that, you know, they're still finding their way? Is it you get a goal and they're going to start coming? What is it?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. One is for them to have a defined what exactly is expected of them. And that's probably more for Nelson than it is for Ibrahim, because Ibrahim's getting opportunities, just not finishing them. That'll kind of bring me to my second point. So the first one is to make sure that we're dialed in terms of and the expectations are crystal clear for Nelson. And I think that's what the coaching staff is working really hard with him, you know, whether it's showing film, setting up individual sessions. Today was a full team session that was generally geared towards Nelson and what he's going to do in the attacking third. So we're working on that from that standpoint. And then I think a lot of it is a confidence thing. You know, Ibrahim came in and he's a very mild-mannered guy. He's kind of keeps to himself. He's very serious. He really wants to do well in football. He knows this is an opportunity for him. And he's put a lot of pressure on himself, probably more so than we have on him. And we're telling him, like, he's made a difference for us. He's stretched defenses. He's given us room. He's given Bossy room. He's given Hector room. You know, he's given us an ability to advance the ball into the attacking third, because defenses have to drop and they have to respect his speed. So, but he's not scoring. And for him, I think it weighs on him like a heavy blanket, and he just needs to kind of get through that. And the confidence when young players, it bounces up and down a lot. You know, I think when you get older, you realize who you are and you realize your strengths and weaknesses. And when things don't go well, I would always joke with Josh Wolf, who was a forward and I worked with for years, but you know, he'd miss, we call them bunnies, little layups and stuff like that. And I'd say, I bet you sleep fine. And I'd say, oh, absolutely. Cause I know next one I'm going to bang in. You know, he can say that when he's 30 years old and he's got a history of scoring goals, but when you're 20-21 and you're going to a new league, it's difficult. So it's interesting getting the mindset of the young players. It's the same as it's still maturing. They still have to realize what their strengths and weaknesses are. And that, you know, as a striker, he's actually a very good finisher. That's one of his strengths. You know, granted, he's played a lot wide minutes as well, but he'll get there. We're pretty confident in that.
Dynamo GM Pat Onstad. How about just a thought on, you know, El Salvador, Pack and Shell, Guatemala? Now, I'm sure these are games you scout. Yeah. I remember in the past, that's how the Dynamo acquired Boniac Garcia by
scouting. How I got Eloy Room when I was in Columbus. That's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So were you guys out looking at these games? Anything you can say about those games?
Yeah, I personally, I actually was not in town. I was away taking care of a personal matter. But yes, our technical director was there. Our coaches were there. Our scouting, our scouts were there. So that's the beauty of actually being in Houston. It saves you a flight rather than flying from Columbus down to Houston to watch a game. But yeah, we were there. And the atmosphere is, you know, even 50 minutes of the game, Asher calls me and says, "You guys, this is unbelievable." So I think it's wonderful to see, and it was, and I'm looking forward to the Monterrey Tigres game and stuff, but it would be great for us to see that for our games. Like, I think that's where we, sometimes you get in there, you get a little bummed out. You're like, how can we get 20,000 people here so passionate? We have the fans in the city. It's just up to us now to try to get them to come watch and support the Dynamo. As great as it is at times, sometimes it kind of, we're like, really? You're like, we can, you know, I don't know what we had the other weekend, but, you know, we're trying. And I would say, like, that's what Ted's doing. He's investing in the front office and made a lot of changes. I know Jessica Neal's working hard. So, you know, hopefully we start getting that stadium packed for us as well.
Dynamo GM Pat Onstad, off the record, on the record.
On the record
players
now.
That, yeah, I think we're on the record here for this radio host should know that at this point in his career. But, you know, was there a player on any of these teams that you guys might have identified that you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, there's some. I don't think there's a ton of surprises anymore in our region, and part of that is you know, we have scouting staffs that are responsible for regions, and when an 18-year-old or 17-year-old pops up with a team, right away there's a report going into our system, and we're taking a look and saying, okay, is this a guy to monitor, or is this a guy to go after right away? You know, as I mentioned, I think on a previous show, is we don't have a ton of space to do things. I think it's going to be difficult for us to kind of maneuver this window. And a lot of that was to do with, you know, we weren't sure what we were going to do with Nelson. We brought Nelson on and paid for him, and he's now part of our club. Nelson Kione, sorry. And also late in the window, we brought in Ibrahim Aliyu. We brought in Eric Shevchenko. And those were two moves that we were thinking we were going to do in the summer. But fortunately, we got them over the line before the window closed, the primary window. So you can see good players, and there's definitely some we'll be monitoring. But I would be surprised if we'll be able to get any of them in this window.
Pat, for the benefit of the fans, what's the extent of the scouting system? I mean, how many full-time scouts, how many part-time?
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into that because it'd be kind of giving away. But we do have like a head of recruitment, a guy named Tom Randall, who works for us. And then we also have in-house here, we have Sebastian Romero, who's been working for the club for a while now. And he's kind of in charge of overseeing kind of the Central America and South America. And then we have remote scouts around the world kind of placed in there that are that work for us. Generally speaking, they're full-time, although they sometimes will have something else on the side, something usually totally separate from soccer. But then we also have a scouting database we use, and then we rely heavily on our analytics group as well, SRC, who's been fantastic for us.
To sign a player now, how much of it is eye test? How much of it is data and analytics?
It's both. Ideally, I think for us, we're doing both. And hopefully what we do is we land on a player that both the data and the scouts are backing. You know, Ibrahim Aliyu is a fantastic example of where the data was great for him in terms of what he creates on the field, his speed, all that stuff. And then the scouts had also plopped him up as well. So I think he's a really good example of both groups working well together. And then us closing the deal.
And from the outside looking in, I mean, it was interesting when you said, well, you know, he's such a focused young man. I mean, you can see that on the outside from where I am. And that has to be something when you meet with this guy and you realize where the character lies and the intensity and the desire, that's also a big check mark, right?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things we do is we want to meet every player beforehand. I flew over to Croatia and sat down and talked to him and stuff, and kind of sold him on a project as well, to make sure that it's something he's interested in. He's an interesting story. He left at a very young age to go to Croatia on his own. And he's been living away from his family for a long time now. So it's tough to be a professional soccer player. It's as much glory and everything is, it's amazing. Some of these kids have a real tough time. You know, they're leaving home, and it wasn't too bad from Croatia. It was reasonably close for the family, but now it's a lot farther away, and he doesn't see his family as often, different time zones now. It can be hard for young players too. And you forget that at times, you know, come on, score. Why aren't you scoring? And then you forget, like, he's what he goes through. He's, you know, he's only with us for a few hours a day, and the rest of the time he's sitting at home by himself. He doesn't know anyone in Houston outside of his teammates. So it's difficult sometimes for these young kids.
Well, we can introduce him. We got a big Nigerian
kid. Yeah, no. I think he started tap in there, is my understanding. Yeah,
they'll come out. If they find out where he's living, they're going to be outside.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
GM Pat Onstad. Last one before I let you go. Yeah. Just, you know, we're all watching in amazement, you know, all the dynamics around this Lionel Messi signing and Inter Miami. How about some thoughts from you on it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's exciting for the league, for a guy that's been involved in this league since 2003 for 20 years, and even watched it obviously when it started in 96. It's pretty impressive. So you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm sure other people might argue with me, but I think the world's greatest player ever to choose us. You know, regardless of what stage he is in his career, he's still a pretty darn good player. he's instantly the best player that this league has ever seen. It'll be fantastic. And I think it'll bring a buzz to our league. You know, one of the biggest things for us as a league is we want to get more eyeballs on the league. We want to keep, generating fan support. And I think there's no better person in the world that could do that for us than Lionel Messi.
Without him coming here, it's too bad we played Inter Miami in the beginning of the year. But you know, what other residual? This is kind of a situation where all the boats are going to rise with the tide, right?
I think so. I mean, it's funny because you mentioned that, and already, you know, I looked at League's Cup. Ooh, there's a chance we could play him. We could actually maybe host if things could work perfectly. And then you talk about Open Cup, it's Cincinnati and Miami. Well, we could actually go play. We have to play there, but granted, you could play him twice this year. So part of us is, I would never would have done that before with any other player in the league. I probably wouldn't even looked at the schedule and be like, oh yeah, we're playing Cincinnati, Miami, whoever in the Open Cup final. So it's great to have that type of interest and drive that, certainly the media attention on the league now worldwide. I think it'll be fantastic. And you know, from a selfish standpoint, for I think all the CSOs and GMs in the league is and the clubs for that matter, is that now more eyeballs will be on the league. That also means other leagues will be scouting our league, and that should hopefully help us transform into more of a selling league. And I think the more we can do that and develop young players, push them on, it helps the American soccer landscape, the Canadian soccer landscape. You know, I'm pretty excited. This could be a really big moment in our league's history.
Much like Beckham, do you think this opens the door for more clubs throughout the league, top to bottom, to buy some of the bigger name guys if they're the right?
Yeah, I think possibly. You know, I think an owner has to have the appetite for it, and I think the Moss brothers are pretty excited about it. And they certainly have made it clear from the get-go that was a player they were targeting. So I think the fit has to be right for those type of players, but without a doubt, we'll see how it goes, right? The success will be on the field. If it's successful on the field, then I think what ends up happening in any sporting league is you end up getting copycats and people will do that. But unfortunately, there's only one Leo Messi. So we'll see how it goes.
That'll be a hard one to copy. Yeah. Pat, as always, great stuff for the fan base. I appreciate all the questions that you entertained here. And thank you so much for coming on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me on again, Glenn.